Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today we pursue our understanding of people by understanding jealousy. 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 Yes, jealousy. Remember that? Jealousy, night and day you torment me. I seem to wonder about the spell that I'm under. So the lyrics. Yes, it'll drive you crazy. Yes, it'll keep you up at night. We want to understand jealousy. So Stephanie Dombra. Hi, Steph.
Hi, Armand.
Did a little digging. I like that phrase, the alliteration. Did a little digging to find out, the basis of jealousy, where it comes from, like the word itself, jealousy. Do you know it comes from and has the same stem as the word zealous? If you think about it, the word stems from the French jealousy, and further from the Low Latin zealous, which means full of zeal. You know what I mean? So what is it? I'm zealously loving you means I'm jealous. And from the Greek word for ardor, zeal, which means to boil and ferment. And it was originally the word. Jealousy had to do with yeast fermenting, because that's kind of what love is like, and jealousy is like, it's like a fermenting yeast. It's like it grows in the dark, it grows in the moist areas, it grows where the sun don't shine. Yeast. The jealousy of God was in Exodus. You remember in, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And that's kind of amazing. If God's a jealous God, then how could any guy be wrong for being jealous? Doesn't that make him like God? It's only another form of zealous. And we have to look at how it poisons our lives, how it kills us, how it destroys us, and where it comes from, and what was its purpose. Well, let's think back about the purpose of jealousy. You know, you're an alpha male gorilla, and you have a bunch of gorillettes. What are women gorillas called? Stephanie, do you know? Gorillatus?
I don't think so.
Just gorillas.
Just female gorillas.
Female gorillas or baby gorillas would be gorillettes. They're chimps?
No.
No, they're not. They're baby gorillas.
Right.
All right. So you have a female gorillas, a bunch of female gorillas around. You have your tribe and you're protecting it. Another gorilla comes along, another silverback comes along, gets into your area. The thing you do is fight them and get rid of them to the point where you can no longer get rid of them. And if you can't get rid of them, you have to give up your turf. But what's the purpose there? What's the idea behind this, which I guess is akin to jealousy, huh? Is it?
It's called mate guarding. So the male is guarding the mate and making sure that he gets his genes into her and the species, and that woman or that female is going to perpetuate his genes for him.
Well, more important, I think, than that is you never want to be rearing her offspring if they don't come from your genetic line. That's the original male jealousy. The worst part is, what if she carries someone else's genes and I'm taking care of them? See, that's the worst. That's the male jealousy, the primitive male protective mate guarding. Whereas the female mate guarding was not so much, I'm worried about the genes. It's, I'm worried that my male gorilla, my protector, is going to go off with another female. So male jealousy and female jealousy were quite different in nature, as I see it. The male was protecting his turf. The female was protecting herself and her family.
She wanted to make sure he brought home the food.
Yes, and he wasn't going off and following some other female. You know, he's not going to go follow someone else. So she would have to drive off the other female as soon as she could. Jealousy is an emotion experienced by one who perceives that another person is giving something that he or she wants or feels is due to them. Love, attention, respect, affection. So, for example, a child will likely become jealous when their parent gives sweets to a sibling, but not to them. An adult may become jealous if they observe that their lover is flirting with someone else, perceiving a threat to their relationship. While the child's jealousy may be assuaged if they receive candy from the parents as well, the jealous lover desires that the affections of their lover be directed exclusively to themselves and will not be assuaged by an equal share of attention. The jealousy of the human jealousy is, no, 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 you just can't give me what you give them. You got to give it only to me and not to anyone else. Now, tell me about the red thrush and the blue thrush, Steph. What is your best memory of that?
It's with lizards, Armand. It's the way lizards actually mate and what color their throat is. And depending on the color of their throat, there are three different types of mating behaviors.
Do you remember what they were?
So there's a yellow and a red and a blue.
A yellow, a red, and a blue. Now, the yellow is likely to do what? A yellow-throated lizard.
I think the yellow-throated lizard actually is in the middle, in between the red-throated. The red-throated one will mate with many different females as much as possible. That's generally speaking.
That's his job. His job is spread the seed.
Right.
Right? That's your job. Your job, if you're a red-throated lizard, is to go out there, find the girls, talk them into, show them your etchings, have them come up, say goodbye in the morning, go off and find another one. I'm romanticizing lizard life a little bit.
Right.
Play him a little music, you know, drink a little champagne, and then off in the morning you go and he goes and sees somebody else. That's a red-throated lizard. Okay.
I think.
Now the middle.
That. Yes. The yellow one, I think it's probably something in between the red and the blue. And the blue one is that this lizard will take one female for 24 hours and they will copulate whatever lizard mating behavior happens exclusively for the entire time with no other female. So multiple acts of copulation. And
But does it last over time, like the prairie
24
voles?
Hours.
Just 24 hours?
Right. In one 24-hour period.
But what if the guy just wants to stay for 24 hours and go on to somebody else?
Well, I didn't get to that chapter yet.
No, well, I did. And it turns out that the blue-throated lizards stay almost exclusively with one lizard, which is why many women prefer blue-throated lizards. You know, they just do. They just say, give me a guy with a blue throat. I think it's, you have to do with color of tie. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what ties really signify. If a guy wears a blue tie, he's more likely to be faithful than if he wears a red tie. It's almost true, if you think about it, in a yellow tie.
Well, we're picking up the cues from nature then. That's interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it? Sure. So if you have a guy with a red throat, he's not at fault for playing the field. It's just the way he was born. He was born to spread the seed. That was his biological imperative. If a female chooses a red male, she knows he's a field spreader. You know, she knows that because she met him while he was spreading his field, because she met him on the same conditions. He was probably with other people, and she met him that way, and she expects that of him. So that's one. Then comes the one who is like a lot of men and women who say, I want one man, one mate only. I want you to only want me. And you have to find somebody who's capable of that. I know a lot of people who go out with people who are totally dependent, and they never want anyone else. So I know a guy who would date a woman, and if this woman had other men, he would date her once, twice, and then he'd just get rid of her and move on to somebody else. But he found somebody who was exclusive to him, he kept that person. See, that was the kind of person you want to be with. And many women do that too. They're never challenged. They're never challenged. They only choose people who would be totally dependent on them. There are many men who will choose women who are outside of their class for that reason. You know, if you have money and you pick somebody poor, or if you have attractiveness and you pick somebody not so attractive, because they're going to stay totally dependent on you.
Yeah, it really reminds me of those types of the dynamics that you see even when kids are popular in school. They usually are either very popular and want a bunch of people around, or they look for people that are like them and then they just go around them for safety. And even though they want to be with the popular group, they'll pick kids that are similar to themselves so that they feel safer. I think safety is a big issue for many people, feeling comfortable and safe. And we did come across these dynamics in jealousy. It's either about fear or about other things too. So
we're going to get to that. Now, rage and envy and jealousy, what's the difference?
Well, envy is this idea that you would like to have something, basically. And jealousy is that you would like to hold on to it, hold on to the thing that you have. So that's like just a very basic thing. If something's going to be taken away from you, you get jealous. Whereas the feeling of envy is that you wish you had something that you don't already have.
That belongs to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You want something that somebody else has. And so you could envy somebody who's got a beautiful wife, a beautiful husband. You could envy them. And you could want to have that husband or wife. But you would be jealous if anyone called your attention. Now, this gives us a model that you might be able to work with. I want you to figure a model of A, B, and C. A is you. Whoever's listening who's going to talk about themselves, just figure you're the A. And just figure building blocks, you know? A square, a triangle, and a circle. All right? So you're the square. You're the A. Now, the mate that you choose is the B. And they could be the triangle. So now you have an A and a B together. These two are together. You have the square and the triangle building blocks, these wooden blocks, and these are the two of you, all right? Then comes C, a third person comes in from the outside. And this person becomes C. Now, here's what we're afraid of. A becomes afraid that B is going to choose C over A. Does that make sense, Steph?
Yes.
Okay. So A has got to do something to prevent B from going with C. So what A will do is not say, how am I going to prevent B from going with C? I'm going to, I'll find fault with B. I'll tell B he's wrong for wanting to go off with C. Or I'll tell C, I'll call C by bad names, and say she's wrong by wanting to go off with B. The real question is, does A ever question themselves? What is it about me that I'm falling into question here? Because you become most insecure when you have doubts about yourself on some level. It's easy to point to B and C and saying it's their fault. It's hard to look at A. So there are two kinds of people, I believe, who make up the jealousy triangle. There are dominant people, I believe, and there's the not-so-dominant people. I'm going to use the phrase weaker people, meaning there are people who are strong-willed and there are people who are not-so-strong-willed. The strong-willed people find fault with the others, B and C. The less strong people find fault with themselves. So the less strong A's say to themselves, it's my fault. I'm not attractive. I've gained weight. I don't have the shape anymore. I'm not young enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not intelligent enough. I don't have enough money. It's my fault. And meaning not it's I'm wrong, but it's my fault. It's something wrong from my side that has created this. Whereas the dominant A's, the strong-willed A's, they say they are wrong. He's wrong. All men are wrong. Men are like this, you know, and she's wrong for being with him. And she'll find fault, or he'll find fault with the B's and the C's. So lack of introspection becomes the real item. Inability to see yourself in the middle of this and to say, where am I? What is it I'm afraid of? Well, we're going to get on to that. Another common distinction between jealousy and envy. Envy is usually a desire for something in general, whereas, and it sometimes has to do with objects, has to do with possession of things, and then jealousy has to do with people, almost invariably. For this kind of reason, some have suggested that jealousy most centrally concerns one's perception of the self. And this is what I said, the perception of yourself is what matters. Now, in social psychology, the incidence of jealousy and the types of situation that give rise to jealousy vary across societies. Many of you who went to school around when I did were fascinated by the work of Margaret Mead. You remember Margaret Mead? Margaret Mead reported a number of societies in which men offered their wives or children to others for sexual purposes. They do that in Alaska, for sure. The Alaskans will offer their wives as a way of staying warm, but they will offer you a sexual evening with their wives. Not all Alaskans, but some Alaskans. In polygamous societies, they would welcome additional wives as enhancing their prestige and lightening their work. Now, this was what we believed, and Margaret Mead wrote the book about Samoa, the island of Samoa. And she talked about how on the island of Samoa there is no jealousy. Well, unfortunately, years later, they found that Mead spent most of her time living in a nearby hotel rather than among the Samoans themselves, and relied heavily on two individuals rather than direct observation. The two individuals later admitted to giving Mead false information. Jealousy occurred more frequently than Margaret Mead suggested, and often resulted in violence. Jealousy and violence go together so much. I was just reading in Why We Love by Helen Fisher. She talks about women's violence. And she says about the most incidents of violence happens with jealous women, both with abandonment feelings, and she talks about love hatred, and she also talked about love despair. Highest incident of suicide has to do with losing a jealousy. See, losing to another lover. In the late 60s and 70s, jealousy had become seen as both irrational and shameful, especially among the advocates of free love and practitioners of non-exclusive sexual relationships. It became this kind of feeling that you were wrong to be monogamous or to want monogamy. Well, like we said, we were just reading a book by a woman who says, I want a blue-throated lizard as my husband. That's what I want, because I don't want to be threatened by any other woman. I don't want to feel the challenge. Now, that's easy if you don't care enough. if you don't care about the other guy, if you don't care about losing somebody, it's easy not to feel threatened. But when you care and you feel threatened, it could really disorganize your mind. So, when jealousy produces excessive discomfort or relationship difficulties, several strategies are available to reduce it. Desensitization is one where they put you through controlled experiments of jealousy-producing stimulus. Cognitive therapy, unearthing and addressing childhood conflicts that predispose to jealousy, like having a younger sister who is favored by your father, is a big deal, you know? And then there's also Christianity and Buddhism. Now, Buddhism, of all things, teach that you must learn to let go of the things that you desire the most, thereby freeing yourself of the ultimate harmful effect of emotion. This is Armand DeMille with Stephanie Dombra. We're talking about jealousy, and we're going to be taking your calls after the break. Station identification. We want to learn more from you. There is one thing I would also mention, that since jealousy does boil your blood, how could it always be bad? How could it always be miserable? Well, there's a thing called paraphilia. Paraphilia is when a person is in love, not with the other person, but an idea of the other person, or with an object related to the other person. So, and there's one known as zelophilia. Zelophilia is when you are sexually aroused by your jealousy. When you think that you're jealous of the other person, but your jealousy turns you on. You actually look to produce the jealousy. And I've known mates who have wanted to have their mates discuss sexual encounters that the mates have had with other people as their way of getting turned on. You know, that's not so unusual. Stephanie, you as a sex therapist, you must have run into that quite a bit, where mates want their mates to discuss it.
But not only discuss it, it's interesting to see that some people actually want the other partner to go out there and flirt and pick up a man or a woman and experience it with them in kind of like, you know, off the kind of side, and people don't know that the husband or the partner is there. So they go to a bar, and the husband is somewhere far away watching this, and the wife picks up another person, and it's not about jealousy, it's about arousal. And so it's a whole different dynamic, but watching it and experiencing that heightens people's arousal, and probably hearing about an experience that your partner had in the past could do something similar to our aroused state.
And there are certain men who, if they hear about anything about your past, or women too, they want to kill you for it. They want you to have a past. They don't want to hear about it. And then there are others who want to hear detail. But I think jealousy is a double-edged sword. I think jealousy is not only bad, but I think it is arousing and connecting. Jealousy makes you feel how much another person matters to you on some level. And it does connect you, as well as disconnect you, of course. So just as in with zelophilia, which is finding that the jealousy makes you more sexually responsive, and just like you're saying about, you know, men or women who would want somebody else to be there, it might be on some level arousing. Well, emotionally arousing, we know for sure, because it does boil your blood. Now, what does that mean? Rage, does it mean? Does it mean you get rageful and that's a good thing? Does it mean you get steamed up? It's a good thing. Does it mean you get scared? Well, step one, the steps of trying to understand jealousy have to do with the following. There's a very good point here. It's that what is jealousy? Jealousy is a combination of fear and anger. You got to get this one. What is the emotion of jealousy? It's not an emotion. It's a combination of fear and anger. Those are the emotions. Jealousy is a perception. It's a thought. Fear and anger are the feelings. Now, whether you start feeling jealous, you ask yourself right away, is it more fear-based or is it anger-based? Now, you know, sometimes, and you could really tell the difference. If your mate leaves something around from somebody else or shows some sign of having contact that he didn't tell you about and you get very nervous, do you get angry or do you get scared? How do you distinguish? Well, here's a way to distinguish it. If the part of your body, if you feel a dropping or a clutching sensation in your stomach, if you feel like you're falling away, it's probably fear. If you feel a burning, tight sensation in your shoulders and jaw, if you feel yourself tightening up and feeling really tight, it's probably anger. Now, of course, you could feel a combination of these two, but it's very important to identify them, because once you identify your fear, you could start addressing it. What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? What is my fear about? So this is something that we have to address. Now, change any false beliefs that might cause you jealousy. There are false beliefs that underlie jealousy and fuel emotion. If you examine the belief, like the common underlying beliefs is everybody wants to take something away from me. Nobody wants me to have anything. That underlying belief could undermine you and could make you even more jealous. I won't have any friends. Nobody will ever really love me. It's an underlying belief. If you could get to the nobody will ever love me, or I'm really alone and there's nobody there for me, those underlying beliefs could be the things that make you feel so fragile and so at the mercy of jealousy. Why? Do we want to get rid of jealousy? Sure. It burns you up. Being able to communicate to your partner and telling them how you feel is really important. Being able to tell them without blaming them. Remember, A plus B and C. Don't blame the B. Don't blame the C. Tell them about you. Tell them about your feeling. Tell them you get scared. And hopefully you have a partner with enough integrity who hears you, not blaming them, but maybe they'll own their own stuff and talk to you about it. So it's really not easy. It's a difficult thing to go through. This is Armand DeMille with Stephanie Dombra. We were talking about jealousy. When we get back from our break, we'll take your calls at 212-209-2900. My friend, 212-209-2900. We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll take your phone calls about this issue, which I'm sure are going to be pretty heated. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with Stephanie Dombra. We're talking about jealousy. Yes, you've heard that tango. I grew up with it. I remember hearing it all the time. Jealousy. And, of course, many times in my life the issue has come up, as I'm sure it has for you. And you, as a friend who's trying to help friends, will take your direction or your advice from your own fears and your own needs. And that's a problem. Part of the problem is whenever you want advice, the person who's going to give you the advice is going to have an investment, almost everybody. So if you go to someone, for example, and you say to your mother, I don't know what to do, or you say to your best friend, I don't know what to do, I am jealous, I discovered, or I'm suspecting, so on and so forth, they're going to give you advice that would service them in some way. See, it doesn't just work for them. The advice around jealousy is always going to be advice that in some way helps that person in their relationship with you. And you'll see it. You'll see it all the time. You never know who to talk to. So sometimes you just wait. Sometimes you sit there alone with it, knowing you can't talk to anybody about it. There's no one to talk to. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. We're on the air. We're talking about jealousy. Hi there. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Armand, everyone. You know, you were talking about alpha gorillas and their mates. And, you know, I have this impression that animals have, like, harems, H-A-R-E-M-S. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. You know what I mean? In other words, an alpha male will have, let's say, the moose creature with the big horns, antlers. He'll have, you know, five or six females that, shall we say, are his women. And the point is, they go into, I hope I have the term right, estrus, where a certain smell, you might say from blood or so of the reproductory readiness to have insemination by the male. And the point is that it's all, you might say, a system in the animal world that the males are attracted to the females and excited by this smell. I think you use the term pheromones in human behavior.
That's right. So what's your point, Monroe?
Well, I'm trying to say that your characterization of the alpha male and choosing a female in this, I think it's much more that the male is always ready, but these smells the system causes him to mate.
Well, okay, good. Let me address that, Monroe. Thank
Please,
you for
I would
thank you for calling
thank
in.
You.
Good. So I think there are two points here. One is that we've noticed throughout history that one of the things that was happening before humans, as humans were evolving, is that in the early stages, as could I wait just a second? As humans have been developing, the young females were giving birth to babies who could not fit through their pelvis. And this happened early on, early on. It was like as males were developing, as soon as a female was an estrus, a bunch of males would jump on her bones. That's when she still had the smell factors, which she would put out there. And based on her estrus, the male would then be having sex with them right away. But it was at a point in history when the human race would have died because they had to do something because the women didn't have room for these babies. So what happened instead? The females learned how to hide their estrus. They learned how to not put out the signals. So the males, how did they deal with this? The males now who are looking for the signal, they had to adapt in another way. And according to what I believe, they became always turned on. Whereas in most of nature, the males are only turned on when the female is turned on. They are following. They follow the turned on female. They could smell it. They could sense it. With humans, the male was always turned on and the female always hid when she was an estrus. And that's what led us to this dilemma of men always feeling turned on, always feeling stimulated, always looking for it, especially if they have yellow throats, as opposed to blue throats, who may be less sensitive, the lizards we're talking about. Thanks for calling in, Monroe. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call.
Calling in, Monroe.
Hi, could you lower your radio?
Yes.
Good.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
I thought your topic was very interesting because I'm actually living that experience right now. I'm going to share a little bit about myself. When I was 6 years old, my mother got divorced and she got remarried, and then I had a sister. Then once my sister was born, it was like all the attention left me. Okay, and it was like that followed me through my life where I felt that something else will come along better and replace me. Mm-hmm. And sure. That created that emotional, I guess, genre that's in me, where I don't trust women. And at the same time, I've had it replay over and over again in my life.
Wow. What's your name?
I'm Travis.
Travis, that's a tremendous amount of personal insight to have. I don't know how old you are, but you're a lucky man to know so much about yourself. Because a man like you would have been at the mercy for the rest of his life of this kind of thing happening. And with you at least aware of it, it makes a huge difference.
Right.
Huge difference. How intelligent of you and how wise of you to be able to recognize it. And so it comes up every day in your life. You believe somebody's...
And that's why I don't have no relationships. I don't want no relationships. I'm single. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel that because I can't deal. It's so powerful that, you know, any relationship that I have been in, I have felt it, and it has some kind of way became a reality in that relationship.
I understand, Travis, and I understand why you wouldn't want to be involved in a situation where that vulnerability would appear again. I fully understand, and I'll tell you something from what I know. People who know themselves as well as you do, eventually you will become desensitized to this, and you will not choose people who would likely do this kind of thing that would be feeling like such a betrayal. You know, in other words, it's not only that we choose mates when we're bent, we also choose mates who repeat the patterns from our childhood. You know, eventually you're going to find, Travis, you're going to wake up to a different kind of person. And I think there's love in your life coming your way. I think that you're a very wise man with a very open heart. And I think as long as you could find somebody who could hear and understand the way you feel, I think you're going to do just fine.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm proud of
you. And I appreciate the topic.
Yeah, I'm proud of you as a man.
Thank
you. I'm proud of you.
I appreciate the topic. It's very, very interesting. Just what I needed to, what I'm dealing with. I mean, I constantly have it on my mind, even though there's a part of me that wants a relationship, and I reach out, but then I don't follow through because of not wanting to actually really feel that. You know, the part of you that wants to be with a person, you know, you reach out, get telephone numbers, but you never follow through because of that fear of, you understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, Travis. So like I said, give it time and you'll watch over time. Your hand will reach out in a different way, much more efficiently, and your hand will embrace love, I'm sure. I'm sure. Give yourself time.
Okay, man. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks for calling in. 212-209-2900. It's Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I think you have a great show.
Thank you so much. What's your name?
My name is Evelyn. And
Evelyn, your voice is kind of fading out. Are you on a cell phone or are you on a...
I'm on a cell phone.
Yeah. Could you kind of stay in one area? Oops. Are you still there? Oh,
no, she's gone. She got disconnected.
Okay, Evelyn, if you get a chance, would you call us back? Let's take the next call. This is Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I really enjoy your show and all the insights you've provided over the years. I had a situation after college where I had a jealous event. And my education from that was that I realized I can't control anybody else, and everybody else makes their own decisions, and you just have to let go. And
so let me understand, were you a B of an AC relationship? Were you the B? Were you the one who was in the middle with somebody else, jealous?
No, I was a college sweetheart, and I came and found her... you know, in bed, naked with somebody else.
When you discovered that, what is it that you said to yourself about letting go?
I said that everybody is their own, makes their own choices, and you have to accept people. And sometimes you don't like the choices they make, but you can't control anybody. And love is supposed to be free of people to come together. And if it's not free, if it's under control, it's not really true. So that was just, you know, my two cents. I wanted to share that.
Well, that's a good thing. What's your first name?
JP.
JJ, so did you part with this person, or did you continue your relationship?
We tried a couple of times to get it back together, but I was still so hurt that, you know, I wasn't able to.
Yeah, it sounds like you lost a good friend as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, JJ. Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, the part about you can't control, he says something very wise there. When somebody is jealous of you, and somebody is kind of challenging you, you know, and I could say this of men I know who have close friends, and I'll say even a male friend. Man with a male friend, and his wife says, "You spend more time with your friend than you do with me." And she becomes jealous. She becomes jealous that he is going to share with his friends things that she wants him only to share with her. So many mates try to control the relationships of their mates to other people, family, friends. And there's a point at which you say to yourself, wait a minute. They need to control me, but I'm not going to be controlled. But I also don't just want to be reactive. So I got to let them be upset. Let them be jealous. Let them be it. I know I'm a good guy. Let them be that way. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. 209-2900. Let's take another. It's you. Hello there.
Hello?
Turn off your radio all the way.
Okay. Hello?
Hello. Yes, what's your name?
Oh, my name is Anna.
Hello, Anna.
Thank you so much for your show. I've been listening for a long, long time. When you were describing that fear feeling, the dropping, and that's exactly what I feel when I see things that I know my significant other, like, did something, and I realize it, and I, that's exactly the feeling I have. And it's just, I've been with this person for a long, long time, and it's just very difficult because I can't trust him.
You know, and the worst part of it is, because maybe sometimes he has done things that were truly deceptive, because the energy is so dynamic between you and him, even if he is only slightly deceptive and not necessarily sleeping with somebody else, he's going to hide that as well and going to get defensive whenever you bring it to his attention. And it gets to be it gets to be such a difficult thing. Because
I don't know. I know it comes from me, and I know it comes from him too, but at the same time, there is love there.
I could hear.
And we have, you know, children together now, and I almost feel like it's too late.
Too late
but
to
I
what?
I want a better relationship. I want to stop having that fear.
Well, okay,
so
let me
stop looking at everything, you know, like I used to check everything.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm not doing it anymore because I don't want to experience this anymore.
Yeah.
But he doesn't make me trust him. I'm like blind to it. You know what I mean?
So you have a relationship with a man where you've limited the relationship, where you've taken out the part that has to do with fidelity, and you've kind of removed it. And you said, okay, look, I'm not going to go crazy over this all the time. I'm not going to check his pockets. I'm not going to check his emails. I'm not going to watch his cell phones. A woman lawyer was telling me the other day that 90% of the people who walk into her office, she's a divorce lawyer, walk in as a result of a discovered email or cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like that's the way it is. You discover, and then you say, let me out of here. And you've said, no, I value this man. I value him. I love him on some level, but I don't want to play this game. But I, what's your name again? Anna.
Anna,
don't know how to do it in such a way that he and I could really talk about it. Because when we talk about it, I make him defensive. He gets defensive, you know? And so I don't know how to do it yet. I don't know how we could have this discussion yet. So I, Anna, have decided I'm not going to look. I'm going to imagine it. I'm going to try to let it pass. Well, one day, Anna, you will learn how you and he can talk about this. And you will find a way to have the truth exist in this relationship if the truth is valued. Now, let's talk about truth for a minute. Truth may be overrated because for a lot of people, the whole idea of sexuality is a turn-on only if it's a secret, only if it's hidden, only if it's forbidden, only if it's, you know, so there are many people who love the secrecy. They love the secrets. They love the little stolen conversations, the little stolen emails. They love that. That's what turns them on. Whereas if you put that out in the open, they may not want it anymore. So truth may not be a desirable end for some people. But that gets discussed as well. I would love to run into a couple who wants to discuss that openly. I would love to help them with that. But thank you. Am I giving you any sense here, Anna? Sure. Thank you for calling.
Have a great day.
212-209-2900. It's Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi there. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hello. Hi, Armand. I'm calling because I am in a relationship for 10 years, right? And we have trust issues, and I get nervous when I know that he's cheating on me sometimes. And sometimes it's not even true. It's just the thought of it. And I check his text messages. I check his emails. How can I gain the trust back from him? How can I do that?
What do you mean gain the trust back? You don't trust him.
I don't trust him. So how can I?
Well, you know, it's whether the two of you ever really can talk. There's an old book that was written called The Future of Love by Daphne Rose Kingma, K-I-N-G-M-A. She wrote an interesting book about how you could bring all of this to the surface and that people in all forms could have a relationship. But let's keep in mind the following. Let's say you have a mate, and your mate has cheated, has been off with other women. But he doesn't mean it as a regular thing. He just does it occasionally. You know, he does it occasionally, he goes off with somebody else. And you let it pass, and you let it pass. And as he gets older, it does it less and less possibly. You know? I mean, maybe it does pass eventually. Or maybe you have to challenge it. Or maybe the secrecy is needed. I would prefer to have a relationship where it could be discussed openly, unless the secrecy is the turn-on. And for many people, like I said, when you talk about paraphilias, secret relationships very often are the thing that make a person excited, not the relationship itself, but the secrecy of the relationship.
And I even suggested for us to go to therapy, and he said we are not at that point yet.
That's a good point. At what point would he be at that point? What is it that he says caused what?
Because we are not living together. We're just boyfriend and girlfriend. And
yeah.
That's what he said.
What you're saying is the following. You're saying, I want you to go to therapy so that we could break into why you do this so that you will stop. See, that's your motive. Your motive is to crack his will using a therapist.
You know so much. Yeah.
And so he says, oh, I'm not at that point where I want my will cracked. Which I could also understand. But, on the other hand, if he is saying something, he's saying something quite profound to you. When, he says, I feel more committed in my love for you, even more than I have right now. When it's not about breaking my spine, but when it's about us finding a place in the middle, maybe then I would love to talk. And you get him a copy of today's program. and you let them listen to even our conversation, which you could do by going to the website, thepositivemind.com, and listening to the archive for today. And maybe then he would look at it and say, okay, maybe there's a person we could discuss it with who's not going to judge me. Because almost invariably, if he goes into any kind of therapy, somebody's going to find something wrong with him for doing what he does. And why would somebody want to go into therapy to be found wrong? Why? So you have to invite. You have to invite trust. You have to invite that kind of love. And for that, again, I recommend the book, The Future of Love. Take a look for it. You'll see it's got some really profound stuff in there. And thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, Armin.
Sure. 212-209-2900.
The lady that we lost before.
Oh, great. Hi there, you're back.
Hello, how are you?
I'm glad you got back.
I'm glad, too. This is a miracle. Your show is great, and I know that the universe allowed me to come back in. I think it's a great topic. Well, with the former President Clinton and their relationship and Jesse Jackson and his relationship, I don't see these people getting on national television, carrying on, fighting and killing one another. I mean, some people in their relationship have agendas. I learned later on in life that if I have to go through that, that I don't want to be in that kind of relationship. And I had to learn to love myself and all of the and the relationships that I did have. And I choose to stay single at this moment in my life because for the first time I'm really learning to just love myself. And it's such a wonderful feeling.
Well, you know, I wish more people would make that choice. Most people never get a chance to spend any time with themselves, but you're saying something very profound. You may not want to get involved in a Clinton-esque or a Jesse Jackson kind of relationship where stuff is spilled all over the place, but if you really get that affection for yourself and that caring for yourself, if you really get to a point where your bottom line is not depression and where you fall into a pit, when you get to really appreciate yourself, you're right. You're much less vulnerable to it. It doesn't hurt you so much, and you don't have to stay so far away from it. Mm-hmm. And when you're ready, you're ready.
Yes.
You know, when you're ready, you'll be ready.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling us back.
All right. Bye.
Bye. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to have to be going. When we come back, my friends, tomorrow we'll bring you more interesting stuff. Go to thepositivemind.com and you can hear an archive of today's program. Be back with you soon.
WBAI, WBAI,